today on HR Trends.
The authenticity is not just like, hey, take it or leave it. This is who I am. And this is what I stand for and believe in. It's actually the authenticity comes from the hardest work we'll ever do. And it's like capital T, capital W work of who we actually are inside. And being able to actually go back and recognize these changes and shifts and sometimes traumas in different degrees along the way, that's where true authenticity lies, in being able to reflect and kind of address and be aware and clean it up and grow up and wake up to today.
Welcome to HR Trends. I'm your host, Claire Morin. And today's conversation is about authentic leadership in the new working world. We're releasing this on 10/10, World Mental Health Day, and we could have no better guests with us than Jen Lim and Swapnil Prabha. Jen Lim is the best-selling author of Beyond Happiness and has been named one of the world's top 50 keynote speakers. She's had the privilege of leading a company to the Inc. 5000 fastest growing list, sitting on the Global Happiness Council of Work and Wellbeing, and working with hundreds of companies from Fortune 500s and best places to work to startups and governments. Her mission is both simple and profound: to teach businesses how to create workplaces led with happiness and humanity that generate more profit, sustain all people at every level of the organization, and share how we can make an impact by being true to our authentic selves. Jen inspires folks around the world on ways to find meaning, grit, and joy, even in the toughest of times. She reminds us how we can all ripple and impact when we get real with ourselves first. Jen, what a bio. Thank you for joining with us.
Thank you, Claire. It's such a mouthful. And it's always a little bit nerve-wracking when you say top 50 speaker, because I feel like I'm on the spot to actually speak well. So lot to live up to. But thank you, Claire. It's so good to be here.
Well, I will say we did see you on the main stage at the Health and Benefit Leadership Conference early this year. And I spoke to so many participants, kept asking, favorite session, it was yours. So obviously, it's true. Also introducing Swapnil Prabha, the Vice President of Workforce Wellness Solutions at Unum Group. Swapnil is a thought leader in the insurance industry, and her work is helping to shape the digital future of employee benefits. She has helped to develop solutions such as Unum Behavioral Health, which addresses the full continuum of mental health for employees, from baseline measurement to a complete range of easily accessible resources and therapeutic interventions. She also leads strategic direction and capability priorities for Unum Leave Logic, an industry-leading leave education and planning SaaS solution. Swapnil, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Claire. And can I just highlight, and I don't know if this is visible, but my word for 2023 was grit. So I love that word was featured in your bio, Jen. I'm super excited to be here.
And I swear to, this is the absolute truth, my word for 2023 was joy. So Jen, I actually pinged Swapnil earlier today and went, oh my gosh. But Jen, I wonder if we can begin with you and your Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Beyond Happiness, How Authentic Leaders Prioritize Purpose and People for Growth and Impact. It's an amazing book. And in the opening chapter, you start, I guess, 5 weeks away from deadline when you were submitting the book's manuscript, when your phone just started blowing up, as you put it, and you learned that your friend and former business partner, Tony Hsieh, had unexpectedly died. Moment of real vulnerability. You write how you had dealt with death before. You lost your father 17 years earlier, but nonetheless, it sent you into a tailspin. I wonder if you can tell us about this and how it then connects to that broader message you're sharing of reframing happiness and resilience at work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for throwing us in the deep end straight away. I love it. Deep diving, as we do. So, you know, we all went through this somehow, way or another in 2020. I started writing the book beginning of 2020. And, you know, every other day, it felt like week, a new headline would pop up of like, wait, the world shifted again. And so I had this nice, neat, tidy outline that I basically, you know, like crumbled up. This is crap. And nothing seemed relevant anymore. And I felt totally, like imposter syndrome. I was like, how can I actually put this out at a time when everything is changing? Reset on humanity, if you will. So fast forward as the months wore on and the book was due, and then Tony passes November of that same year. So again, this fundamental shift of what does this really all mean? What is the context I'm trying to put this forth in? And to me, you know, coming from the happiness space for so long, positive psychology, scientific happiness, it just became a piece of it, but not all of it. And why, I mean, I didn't even have the title yet, but why I went beyond was because the whole gamut of like how cliche it is to like, we don't really know our highs until we know our lows. And going beyond was meaning the fulfillment of it all in living in those highs and lows, in trying to embrace them as much as we could, knowing everyone in the world suffered from some form of loss, some form of trauma, and it didn't have to be a person. It could have been a job, hope, some sort of friendship or whatever it is. It's like everyone was experiencing it at one exact time. And yet, like, we just had no idea how it was impacting people. So that's the frame as where I wanted to come from in opening up the book that way. That, yeah, this is a workplace book. Now it's like the world's work, the world of work has changed forever. But I felt it was so important to just put myself and try and empathize and have a bit of compassion for everyone that's experiencing anything in that form, to be able to kind of embrace the wholeness of it all, of what we were experiencing, and try to address it from a real talk way. And yeah, that's how it all like began and started to where this whole concept is today. But that whole, you know, journey of loss is really, I think, started this whole next piece, chapter, if you will, of where we are now, now that we are 2020 instead of BC, AC, before COVID, after.
Right. It's so helpful, I think, for this moment. And we're recording this fall 2023, right? And it's, what, 3.5 years? And we are still feeling those effects, right? And we are in that new working world. And Swapnil, I would love for you to kind of respond to what Jen just shared. You know, you're working with a lot of employers across the US. You're helping them reduce stigma so we can actually talk about, to your point, Jen, this real talk. And you're also obviously helping expand access to mental health care and so on. But what comes to mind to you, Swapnil?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't even know where to start. So much has happened in the past few years. And I'll start with stigma, Claire, that you brought up. The silver lining over the last 3.5 years, at least in the mental health space, has been that it has become much more acceptable to talk about and acknowledge mental health needs, which is amazing and great. The flip side of that is that we as an economy, as a marketplace, were ready to meet the demand that results in. So there is an increased heightened demand. I think it's continued to keep growing, which is good because all of us should be taking care of, all of us have mental health, we need to be taking care of it. But in terms of were we ready to deal with the demand, perhaps not fully, but when necessity happens, that's when sometimes the best innovation and creativity comes to fore. So we've seen so much happen from a regulatory perspective around allowing for virtual and digital health tools to make advancements that they hadn't for years, for decades before. We also saw a lot of broadening and opening of minds from an employer perspective in terms of what were conversations that were okay to have in the workplace or working world, as we are talking about, because that's rapidly evolving. And then finally, something that really resonated for me with what Jen said was there was a shared loss, sense of loss across the world, but there was also a very unique sense of loss for different individuals. And I would also translate that into employer context. So there's the world shared, there's the individual shared, and somewhere in the middle is the employer shared loss as well, whether it's culture, which now needs to be redefined, whether it's what employees value, who is working where with the great resignation that the jury is out and is you know, came and went. Maybe it went. I'm not sure where that lands right now. So there's just so much change that has happened that for providers like Unum, like, or companies like Unum, to address that need in terms of the right benefits that we provide, it actually needs to go hand in hand with strategy. So that's a big shift that we're seeing as we look forward. It's not, people are not coming to us just asking for, hey, I have this disability insurance need that you need to fill, or I need to buy a mental health solution. Do you have something? They actually are coming to us to help them shape their employee engagement, empowerment strategies. So that's what, and that's what frankly excites us too, and that's what we're looking forward to partnering with many of those employers on.
It's very eloquently said, and I love the silver lining of it. I couldn't agree more. Like everything about mental health and well-being and all that was under the hood, and 2020 just blasted the hood off, and at least we're now able to speak about it in more open terms with more psychological safety, knowing there's a lot of environments that still don't embrace that, but that seeing the needle move on that was definitely one of the silver linings of it all.
That's wonderful. And Jen, I'd love to ask you about what does it mean to be an authentic leader in today's working world? So in your book, you mentioned how you and Tony Hsieh defined it as, I love this, to be true to your weird, authentic self. Can you talk to us about that and how you think, as you're talking to organizations and HR, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm going to refer to this again as the BCAC, like before COVID and after COVID. So Tony and I used to talk about that. That was back in the days of early days of Zappos, before culture was a buzzword. And we just had this, like, just as individuals, our personal take on life is like, hey, we got to start with ourselves and just be real and be weird. And like, everyone's weird in their own way. And why not, like, you know, and cherish that and celebrate it. But what I think is different now in being an authentic self and authentic leader. And when I say leader, it's a leader, you know, it's not CEO. It's not a title. It's the leader of your own work life and your own decisions that you make around that. So what I think is interesting now is that the authenticity is not just like, hey, take it or leave it. This is who I am. And this is what I stand for and believe in. It's actually the authenticity comes from the hardest work we'll ever do. And it's like capital T, capital W work of who we actually are inside. And it's not obviously the strengths, it's the weaknesses. It's not, you know, it's the blind spots. It's the things that we sweep under the rug because it's so emotional, it's so painful. It's those things that we were born with from a DNA perspective, and we were grown in an environmental perspective, and being able to actually go back and recognize these changes and shifts and sometimes traumas in different degrees along the way, that's where true authenticity lies, in being able to reflect and kind of address and be aware and clean it up and grow up and wake up to today. So that definition has actually evolved, and I feel like it's emerging in a way. There's a greater awareness than ever of that work that needs to be done in order to truly be authentic, which is actually one of the tenets of sustainable happiness, is being real, really able to do away with the onion layers and actually see ourselves for ourselves.
So inspiring. And I loved when you told that huge audience at the Health Benefit Leadership Conference, you could see that resonating, right? People were swapping all, any thoughts on that?
I mean, 100% agree. I love how many times we've used the word authenticity already. I just absolutely love it. And I mean, the thing that I would add, again, preaching to the choir here clearly, but the pressure to always be perfect is a lot. And if leaders were to allow themselves to be seen in those moments of vulnerability, right, where the meeting did not go as well as we thought, or even a life decision did not quite pan out the way we thought, and felt more free to share that, I think it could mean a lot. And if I may, I might actually share a personal story that came to mind as Jen was talking. And this refers back to my past life, and I was a consultant. And I remember walking into the office, and there was a very tenured senior partner in his office, kind of surrounded by piles of paper. And he saw me looking at it, and he invited me in. And I said, hey, you know, instead of saying, how are you? I'm like, what are you doing? It was just a lot of paper on the desk. And he said, oh, I'm studying. I'm studying because I have a talk to give tomorrow, and I'm preparing for it. And that was such a moment for me. I don't even know what type of moment. It was just a moment of recognition that here is this person who is an amazing speaker. I thought they could do it in their sleep. I thought they did not ever need to practice. And there they are spending hours. Literally, he described it as studying for this talk the next day that he had to give. And he said, yeah, I'm actually not a natural speaker at all. I have to work at it every single day. And I've been doing it for over 20 years. And that was, to me, a very freeing moment. Maybe that's the word that I was looking for, because I felt that, gosh, if he needs to, it's okay that I need to as well. And that meant a lot to me. So that's just, and for me, that would be the definition of an effective leader who is not afraid to talk about what they are good at and what they are not that great at, and be able to share and own it.
I love that. That's, you just think of how that's going to help people entering the workforce, right? Those young, where it seems so impossible to get there, right? Amazing. And Jen, I wondered if we could, you were just talking about how it begins with us. And in your book, you do this wonderful explanation of what you call the greenhouse model, which I believe is like we've got to have our own inner greenhouse kind of flourishing before we can then help the other greenhouses around us, right? And then how the good leader, I guess, is doing that important work. Could you talk us through that and kind of the tools you think teams need to adapt and thrive in today's world?
Yeah, I think, thank you for explaining it in that sense, because for me, the greenhouse model emerged as, because I said I've been doing this happiness thing for so long, but there's still a lot of people in not just the workplace, but in the world that just say, happiness is not necessarily in my equation. It's not what drives me. It's very Western, you know, whatever it is. So that's when I went to more of this metaphor of growth. Like, no matter who we talk to in the world, there's no one that wants to not grow. You know, they just don't want to stay in where they are. So that's how the whole concept emerged, because yes, we as leaders, especially in the kind of roles that we're talking about, we just have a natural tendency to want to take care of others. How can we make sure others grow? And, you know, and that applies to our families and friends too. But what we forgot is, how do we actually tend and nurture our own greenhouse as we grow others? And we forgot, maybe because, like, you know, it's the whole oxygen mask metaphor, and maybe because we didn't fly for 3 years, so we forgot about that whole thing. And now here we are. And what I come back to is this is just as simple as, like, why are we so easy and quick to know when our battery is low on our phone? It's like insta-charge. We know that, like, the back of our head. I mean, you know, in our sleep. Yet we never do, or rarely have the awareness to do it for ourselves when we need to. So thinking about the tools and how we do it for ourselves and for our teams, what I talk about is, like, in some ways, because of the chaos that can swirl, because of the storm that will come, continue to come, what we can do is ground ourselves, number one, in the sense that we can control what we can, and we have to embrace the things that we can't. So in some ways, purpose and values, and we hear those terms a lot, are table stakes. And I don't mean this because it can be very daunting to think about your purpose, to think about your values, but just remember that it should be, it's an evolutionary thing. But to be able to at least ground ourselves at this moment in time in, like, asking those questions, like, what am I doing that's greater than myself? What is the how and how I want to live my life in the values? Once you have that grounding, then we can play with the elements of the greenhouse. Then we can play with what are the conditions for myself, no one else, that I only know, that I can test as to what actually nurtures me. Someone's massage is different from someone's meditation. One's, you know, walk around the park is different from a 15-mile, you know, run. All I'm saying is that there's a testing involved in understanding what gives us most value in nurturing that. And what we've seen in the workplace with teams is when you create a sense of psychological safety and for that sense of belonging, when you have a sense of accountability, not like big brother, big sister, it's like, what's in it for me and what's in it for all. So therefore we have a new social contract together. Huge thing now, of course, is this element of like true connection, you know, true meaningful connection. And how can we actually commit to that in the long term for the long term view, not the short term. So the tools come to, you know, coming together with teams and revisiting your purpose, not just for the team, but for yourself. Because when you see that alignment of an individual's purpose, not as an employee, but as a human being, that aligned to that of the purpose and values of the team and organization, that's when the true symbiosis occurs in an ecosystem of how we build people ecosystems in a company. So there's, you know, a lot of different tools I can rattle off, but I think that's the basis of it all. Like, how do we ground ourselves, root ourselves, and know how to play with different elements within the greenhouse so the conditions are conducive to growth?
Amazing. Swapnil, any thoughts on these beautiful ideas? It's just so practical.
Yeah, no, super practical. And I think, I mean, obviously it's resonating with employers, right? And I'm able to sort of kind of draw the connection almost. I'm like, okay, great. I mean, no wonder people are more focused on not just what is the, you know, what is my competitor offering in terms of benefits, but really taking a step back and saying, okay, what is my culture? What is the, what do my employees, my workplace, working world, virtual, hybrid workplace, what does that demand at this point, and how do I create that? So a lot of the questions that we actually get as we are talking about Unum Behavioral Health or pre-sale or even post-sale when we are launching it, the questions are very much around, oh, great, how can we create a supportive culture around mental health? Not just about what is the next tool to add to my arsenal of benefits here, et cetera, but we have made investments, which is important. How do we make sure that they are actually getting utilized? Are we going to be able to continue to invest in that? And if we don't see them utilized, then we won't be able to. And then recognizing very quickly in that dialogue, a key piece is missing, which is the people themselves. And how do we define the value system of our own company and our culture? And how do we then get people behind it? So definitely resonates in terms of it does not need to be the same definition. So that definitely, you know, I can personally relate to that what good looks like for me or what gives me a sense of calm or belonging is different from what it might mean for someone else. And that translates to companies and cultures as well. And then building that cohesive culture is probably more important and value accretive than adding 5 more benefits, essentially. That definitely resonated.
It did. And actually, our last podcast is about generational preferences and benefits. And those Gen Z millennial cohorts that are now the majority. And you mentioned the social good element, Jen, and that's a huge priority for those. So making that connection of how our work is impacting community and so on. Super, super interesting. I wonder as we kind of come to a close, as we look ahead, I know it's amazing it's the end of the summer, but anyway, 2024, next year and beyond, we're in this moment, aren't we, where the labor market remains very, very tight. Some organizations are doing that back to the office movement, others are not, and so on. And there's a lot of stress still, right? Things are certainly not slowing down in terms of change. Jen, what do you think is key for leaders and HR teams to thrive as we move into 2024 and beyond?
It's a build on what Swapnil just shared. What I love what you're doing is that you're contextualizing, because it's not these one-off benefits, right? It's not just, oh, you got a free call map for the year, like go to town. It's like, what is the whole gamut of the resources and tools that we provide for people as leaders, knowing it's all coming back down to understanding of self and their needs, and being able to provide like a very complex landscape of all these things that we can access, but in a way that makes them want to access it because they are convinced and they know the value is there for them. And that's why these things around developing and helping people with their own purpose, with their own values, with their own set of like challenges and things that they're thriving in is so important, because it contextualizes their own greenhouse, if you don't mind me saying. But it's like, oh, that's why I'm doing this. And that's why I want to continue doing this like virtuous cycle of what I can do for myself. So I think as a leader, reminding the teams that we have, the people that we have, and then of course reminding ourselves that that is of top priority in how you're doing your recharge, your battery as well. So there's that. And just on top of all this, more than ever, like you mentioned, it's been three and a half years. Conversations around the world, I feel like our nervous systems are still a little shot. We're still in a little, you know, whether we recognize it or have addressed it, some haven't even acknowledged it. I think that's one thing to remember, because people are still trying to figure it out right now. And there is no one that can say we know the answers, because if they say that, they probably need a reality pill. So I think it's something to remember, of that sense of like really attentive listening and really creating that sense of being heard, understood, and therefore belong in this solution that is ever growing and ever changing as to what and how we can address a totally different world than it was a few years ago.
Amazing. Swapnil?
I mean, I have to agree. If I were to push myself to add to that, I would basically, maybe I would be provocative to some extent, and I would ask and I'm specifically addressing HR leaders when I talk about this, I would ask our HR leaders to ask for help more often and hold their vendors, solution providers, partners, however they choose to think about them, hold them accountable more and ask them, because, and this is maybe going back to my mental health roots, I feel that over many, many decades, a lot of employers have gotten so used to just being okay with whatever reporting, whatever, you know, lack of impact or, you know, mediocre impact that they might see from their vendors and partners. And they've been okay with that for the longest time. And I just feel that they shouldn't be okay with that. And they should hold their solution providers accountable for, you are a partner now, you're part of my benefits strategy, my employee engagement strategy, and you have a role to play here. And I want to see the impact that you can have. And I want to see more than just a single utilization percentage of my mental health solution. I want to see, what are the clinical outcomes? Is my employee population actually getting better? Obviously, always in an aggregated anonymous way, it goes without saying, but am I seeing impact? Are my people actually feeling better? And by the way, help me figure out how to measure that, because, you know, employee satisfaction surveys, traditionally, I think there's, you know, it's debatable how effective they are in truly understanding and sensing how people are truly and actually doing. But asking for help, being more open and holding others accountable, others, by the way, to whom they are paying money to provide a service, hold them accountable to deliver impact for you.
Thank you both so much for coming on the show and just sharing your insights. So valuable.
Thank you. And thank you, Swapnil. It's really cool to hear from your perspective and how there's a huge convergence. And it's just, what an exciting, freaking exciting time to be alive, to be able to talk about it and actually do something about it. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Yep. And say likewise, Jen, it was an absolute honor to be here with you. And Claire, thank you for your wonderful hosting as always.
Wonderful.
For more conversations around employee benefits strategies and mental health at work, head to unum.com/HR-trends. And if you're listening on a podcast app, subscribe to HR Trends today. Unum is a registered trademark and marketing brand of Unum Group and its insuring subsidiaries.